Hello, I'm Donovan Kane. Welcome back to the podcast, where I've been reading you Deep in the Woods, book one of the Fortune series, written by New York Times bestselling author Annabelle Joseph. Today, I will continue reading you Annabelle Joseph's book with episode 10. Chapter 10. It was nearly Christmas time, and Atlanta was experiencing an unusual cold snap. Sophie was curled up on the sofa studying for exams, thinking that fleece blankets were the best thing ever invented. Although, who needed a blanket when you had a 100-pound furry friend sprawled against the better part of your frame? She shifted, rearranging Serby's paw so it didn't dig so badly into her rib cage. He looked up at her with a small snuffle.
"You silly mutt."
Sophie scratched him under his muzzle and then up around his ears.
"I know you love me. You're my own special boy, aren't you?"
At those words, he pressed even closer to her, shimmying up to cover her face in canine kisses. Sophie laughed.
"Yes, yes, I love you, too. You're the number one man in my life. Well, number two, after your wonderful owner. I'm trying to decide who's pushier about getting in my space, him or you."
Serby sighed and dropped his head, burrowing his muzzle under her chin.
"Mm-hmm. I think it's you."
She rearranged him again and turned her attention back to her books. Dave was off for the day to one of the regional munches and some photography appointments afterward. At first, Sophie felt pangs of jealousy to see him go off and photograph other kinky, beautiful, and available women. She didn't know why. It wasn't like he didn't photograph her, too. Since that first day she'd posed for him, he'd taken hundreds of photos of her, disappearing for hours into his dark room to develop the prints. Some silly, some serious, some intimate. She had long since overcome her shyness about posing nude. He photographed her naked a lot, but those were only for him, he told her. He collected all his photos of her in archival quality storage boxes. Archival quality. He had explained the term to her one afternoon in a voice heavy with gravity. "Archival means it will last a lifetime, Soph." So, over time, she relaxed about the fact that he photographed other women, just as she relaxed about worries of him pushing her too far. He was so careful, so attentive to her feelings and reactions in every situation. If only the nightmares would go away. But she wouldn't think about that now, about the horrible dreams that always found her wandering, lost and confused in the woods. And it was always the same stretch of woods, the same canopy of trees and dense bushes at the top of the hill on the trail she and Dave often hiked. Every time they went there, she stood and tried to remember.
"Why? Why do I keep dreaming of this place?"
Barry was never with her in her dreams. At least, she didn't think he was, although there was some strange evil that seemed to hover in the air, smothering her with confusion and sadness. Even when she woke, the feeling lingered, a foggy sensation of mourning and an evil she couldn't describe, even though she'd tried to explain it to Dave on many occasions. She had even gone on her own, with Serby to keep her company, to the quiet clearing at the top of the path. She had a feeling the area was connected to her ongoing nightmares, and that if she could just figure out the reason, they would go away, and she wouldn't have to wake up every few nights sobbing and gasping for breath. Well, it was frustrating, but nothing she was going to solve in the moment. She returned her mind to studying her biology text and was just getting wrapped up in cell structures when the phone rang. Expecting it was Dave checking in, she picked up the receiver from the side table.
"Hello?"
"Sophie?" His voice registered like a blow. Just as she was about to hang up, his words arrested her. "Please don't hang up." Her pulse sounded loud in her ears. She knew she should hang up on him. The very fact that he was calling her at Dave's number unnerved her. But part of her wanted to show him that he hadn't broken her after all.
"Why are you calling here? I'm with someone else now."
"I know, Sophie."
"And I'm very happy. I don't really have anything to say except that I've been in therapy for over a year now, and I still have nightmares."
"Sophie, I'm calling to apologize. Please, let me speak." She looked over at Serby, sitting up alert at her troubled expression. She stroked his head to calm him. I'm sorry if I hurt you, Barry said. But you have to realize that I didn't understand how unhappy you were. You never tried to leave. You never told me to stop anything I did to you.
Because you ignored me when I did.
But you seemed happy with that arrangement.
Well, I wasn't. I wasn't happy.
I wish you had told me. I would have changed if you'd spoken up. I would have done things differently to keep you, Sophie. I miss you. His voice was the same calm, smooth voice she remembered, the voice that hid so much callous depravity beneath its soothing lilt.
I don't believe anything you're telling me. Not for a second.
It felt good to finally mouth off to him without fear of reprisal. No more time in the cage. Ever.
I have to go. I have important things to do. Please don't call here again. Dave won't like it.
Dave. The first tones of cruelty crept into his voice. Does he really make you happy?
He makes me 10 times happier than you ever did. 100 times happier. 1,000,000.
Still prone to exaggeration, I see.
You're an asshole, Barry. You always were. I'm so glad I see it now. And now I know what a real man is like. A real Dom. Not an abuser.
Abuser. Nice. Who told you that? Your fabulous new boyfriend, fake Dom? I really cared about you, Sophie.
Good God, please.
I did. We had a once-in-a-lifetime connection, a special bond.
That's just another way of saying you haven't been able to find another girl who will let you beat her up as bad as I did.
Honey.
Look, I have to go. I have to study. I wish I could say it was nice chatting with you. You're just lucky my dad is paying the therapy bills and not you. Have a great fucking day.
She hung up the phone and took a deep breath, trying to calm her beating heart.
He can't hurt you. Not anymore.
She began studying again and retained her stubborn nonchalance about the conversation until she and Dave sat down for dinner. He was telling her about the topics at the Munch and about the scenes he'd photographed afterward between a master and his 3 female slaves. Sophie tried to listen because it was quite an arousing story, but she kept looking at Dave and thinking about how much she appreciated him, how thankful she was to be with him now. In the middle of his story, she stood up and crawled into his lap. Sophie? Dave brushed back her hair. What is it?
Nothing. I just missed you. I love you so much.
But he knew her better than that. He tilted her chin up and gazed into her eyes. What happened? Are you having problems getting ready for your exams? How did your studying go? You didn't goof around all day, did you? Because if so, I might have to...
Barry called here today.
She saw the flare of alarm in his eyes turn to anger, then concern. How did he know to find you here?
Everyone in the local scene knows we're together now.
So he's still in Atlanta? Give me the phone. Sophie went to grab the receiver, then returned and let him pull her back into his lap. Dave clicked to the caller ID display to find Barry's name and number. What did he say? Tell me the whole conversation. Sophie related as much of it as she could remember, emphasizing the part where she'd told him to fuck off at the end. Dave messed with some more buttons on the phone. Okay, I've blocked him from calling here again. But listen, if he ever contacts you, here or anywhere, I want you to call me immediately. He kissed her forehead, then both her eyes before clasping her to his chest. You worried about this all evening, didn't you?
I just can't believe he called here. It was horrible to hear his voice after all this time.
He's never going to be part of your life again. You know that. Sophie nodded, soothed by the deep rumble of his voice against her ear. And even if you ran into him, you're not his anymore. You owe him nothing, not even acknowledgement. And we've been working on the self-defense training, so you can defend yourself from him if need be.
Yes, I know.
Not that I worry about that. He's not stupid. Sophie suppressed a shudder.
No, not Barry.
He's not going to try to win you back. I should hope not. No, thought Sophie. He wouldn't try to win her back. He wouldn't do it that way.
Long after he took Sophie to bed, long after he loved her senseless, Dave lay awake worrying about the events of the day and those little tense lines he'd seen around her mouth. She was more upset than she was telling him, but Dave didn't want to force the issue and reveal the depth of his own misgivings. For Barry to call, he would have had to uncover Dave's unlisted home number, which was a little aggressive, and it didn't escape his notice that he called while Dave was away. Coincidence? The alternative gave him a chill, that Barry might be monitoring him and Sophie in a more involved way. It made him never want to leave her alone again. Thankfully, Cerberus was always around when he left her. Dave knew, without a doubt, Cerb would do his best to deter anyone who intended Sophie harm. He looked down at her in sleep. The strength of his feelings for her always surprised him, never more than in quiet, intimate moments like these. Dave jumped as the phone jangled in the silence. He lunged for the receiver and saw his friend Ryan was calling. He left Sophie to sleep, taking the call out in the living room.
Hello?
David, you jerk. Why haven't you called me?
Why haven't you come to visit me?
Well, what are your holiday plans? 'Cause it's cold as fuck up here, and I'd love to head south. Ryan was one of his oldest buddies, a tall, dark-haired Irish Bostonian with the intelligence of Albert Einstein and a mischievous streak a mile wide. Ryan loved reason and bedlam, discipline and disruption, and smart girls who were sluts. Dave had met Ryan in his fifth-grade class in parochial school. Ryan was the one who both charmed and flabbergasted the nuns. Dave, the shy one, had watched him from a distance until they'd ended up in a karate class together. Their personalities clicked, and they'd been fast friends ever since, even rooming in college together. It was in college he and Ryan set about exploring the world of BDSM, discovering they shared similar tastes and kinks and girls.
You have to come down, Rye. Seriously. As long as you like. Atlanta is awesome.
How about the week after Christmas? Are you going to be in town?
Sure. We're not going anywhere.
I can't wait to meet your lovely subby. How is Sophie?
Dave had been telling Ryan about Sophie since the week he met her. Ryan knew about her past with Barry and about her unfulfilled fantasy of being with two men at once. He and Ryan had shared a few women in their kink history, but those had been nothing more than play partners. Dave heard the unspoken query in Ryan's conversational question. Sophie is great. We're closer than ever. When you come down, we'll have to spend some time together. I think you really like her. And I'd like her to spar with someone besides me. It's too hard for me to be tough on her, to really teach her self-defense.
Ryan's raucous laughter interrupted him.
It's too hard for you to be tough on her? Who are you, and what have you done with my friend? Dave joined in his laughter. It's a different kind of tough. I can be her sadist, but I can't be her assailant.
I'm just teasing you. I get it. Yeah, I'd be happy to spar with her a little. Think she can hold her own against me?
I don't know, but I'd like to find out.
Ryan didn't miss the sudden tightening of Dave's voice.
What's up?
The Psycho X actually called here today. I mean, I've been working with her, so she's pretty prepared. She's a scrappy fighter, but as I said, it's hard for me to come at her like he would come at her.
Sure, I can help out. I'd be happy to. The rest, we'll see. I can't make any promises just yet.
I wouldn't expect you to. We'll see how it goes. Either way, it will be great to see you both.
A scream sounded from the bedroom.
What's that?
Asked Ryan. Sophie, nightmares. Gotta go.
Dave was already running into the bedroom. He felt a moment of panic to find the bed empty, but there she was, huddled in the corner with Cerberus plastered against her side as if he could rescue her from her dreams. He'd expected this tonight of all nights after the phone call.
Sophie, baby. He knelt beside her and hauled her into his arms, ignoring her half-hearted attempts to fight him. Serby's soft whine sounded along with Sophie's sobs. He patted the dog, soothing him, as Sophie grew still in his arms. She buried her head in the crook of his neck, and he felt hot tears trickle down to his shoulder. "Sophie, it was just a dream. Wake up."
"I'm awake."
"Take some deep breaths. Tell me about it." She turned her face away from his inquiring gaze.
"I don't want to."
"You know you can tell me anything."
"I know. I don't want to tell you about this. I just want it to go away. I don't even know why I dream these terrible dreams. Sometimes they feel so real."
"Maybe if you talk through them with me, just to diffuse the..."
"No."
She sounded horrified. He decided not to push her any more in her current agitated state. She was closing him off purposely, and he didn't like it, but now was not the time to press her. He rocked her until her breathing slowed and the shudders went away. Long after she drifted off, he saw her eyes move and twitch beneath her closed lids. "If only I could see what you see," he thought. "If only I could save you from these nightmares." The end of this episode. Come back tomorrow and I'll read you episode 11 of Deep in the Woods, book 1 of the Fortune series, written by New York Times bestselling author Annabelle Joseph. You can learn more about Annabelle Joseph and her books at annabellejoseph.com. I'm Donovan Kane. Thank you for listening.